There is a fascinating and quiet panic spreading through the modern dating market. Women who have successfully navigated their entire lives using the implied currency of their attention and validation are suddenly and disastrously finding that this currency is no longer being accepted. They are encountering a new archetype, the man who simply does not care. He isn't angry, he isn't playing a game, he is clinically indifferent. And the panic this is causing is visceral. The immediate reaction is to label these men as broken, avoidant, or emotionally unavailable. But this is a fundamental misdiagnosis. These are not broken men. They are men who have rationally and quietly opted out of the validation game altogether. They have recognized that the cost of participation is too high and the return on investment is too low. This shift is not an accident. It's a systemic market correction. Today, I am going to explain exactly why this indifference is causing mass anxiety and what it truly means when men stop taking the game seriously. This phenomenon is best observed in what I call the indifference test and its playing out. Every single day, in workplaces, social settings, and online, a woman who is objectively attractive and who has built her entire social strategy on that fact enters a man's orbit. She deploys the standard, time-tested arsenal, the calculated laugh designed to draw focus, the strategic eye contact held just a moment too long, the subtle physical escalation, leaning in, a light touch on the arm. She is running a script, and she expects a predictable response, nervousness, flattery, a shift in his posture, or an immediate effort to impress her and win her approval. But the script fails. The man she targets simply does not react. He isn't rude, but he is clinically neutral. He registers her presence as he would anyone else's, and assigns it no special value. He doesn't lean in. He doesn't stumble over his words. He simply continues his prior engagement, focused on his work or his conversation, rendering her escalation completely inert. This is the moment. The panic begins, because this failure is profound. It's crucial to understand that this is not rejection. Rejection, ironically, is still a form of validation. It acknowledges her power and effort, even as it denies her. What he offers is irrelevance. By failing to engage in the game, he exposes her entire social strategy as a performance for an audience that has left the theater. Her attempts to create a reaction, to pull him into her frame of control, slide right off. If this feels familiar, it's because it's a systemic breakdown. The realization hits that the tools she was told were all powerful. Her appearance, her charm, her ability to grant or withhold attention are utterly ineffective against someone who isn't playing. This single moment shatters a worldview, and it reveals the crumbling foundation this privilege was built on. That crumbling foundation is what we must identify as attention privilege. This is the unspoken, systemic belief reinforced since childhood that a woman's mere presence, particularly if she is young and attractive, is inherently valuable and deserving of male effort, resources, and focus. It wasn't a currency she had to earn. It was a dividend she was entitled to. This privilege was so pervasive and total that it became invisible to those who held it. If you've ever felt that the dating world operates on two different sets of rules, this is why. Men were historically trained that their value was conditional, what they could build, achieve, or provide, while women were trained that their value was inherent, their youth, their beauty, their simple existence. This isn't just a social dynamic. It was the entire operating system, and they built their entire identity upon it. The collapse of this privilege is what is fueling the current crisis. For decades, this system functioned without question. A woman could enter a professional or social space and receive immediate deference, help, and protection, often without asking, while men had to compete just to prove their base level worth. In practice, this meant her problems were prioritized and her convenience was centered. But now, she is encountering men who operate on a different logic, one of strict reciprocity and proven value. The man who no longer offers his jacket, automatically pays for her meal, or provides free emotional labor isn't being cruel. He is simply treating her as an equal, not as a protected asset. This sudden removal of unearned deference feels like a profound attack. It's the equivalent of having lived your entire life on a diplomatic expense account, never checking the price of anything, only to be told the account is frozen and you must now justify every single purchase. Which leads directly to the failure of her established tools. When that automatic privilege evaporates, the first tool set to fail is the expectation of asymmetric effort. For decades, the implicit contract was that she provided her presence, and in exchange, the man provided the vast majority of the effort, the planning, the financial investment, the pursuit, and the emotional labor. The man who is now indifferent operates on a new model, strict, logical reciprocity. He will not text good morning if he is the only one initiating. He will not carry a conversation when he is met with one-word answers. He simply and calmly mirrors the exact level of energy he receives. To a woman whose entire strategy relies on using low effort, as a test of a man's devotion, this is maddening. She labels him low effort or boring, failing to recognize he is simply treating her as an equal, not as a prize that must be won. He refuses to be the sole engine of the interaction. Next, the digital validation machine begins to sputter and die. Social media was the ultimate amplifier of attention privilege, allowing a woman to quantify her market value in real time through a steady stream of likes, story views, and orbiting DMs. This is a tool of passive control. She posts a provocative image or a story, knowing it functions as a digital lure, expecting a specific target to see it and react, either with jealousy, renewed desire, or simple validation. But the man who has opted out is no longer watching. He isn't in her story viewers. He isn't sending fire emojis at 2 a.m. His digital silence is a potent form of indifference. The signal she sends into the void is met with nothing, proving that her broadcast power no longer has a captive audience. She can no longer manufacture value from the clicks of thirsty men. When these subtle tools of influence fail, the heavy artillery is brought out, emotional manipulation, and the negotiation of intimacy. Historically, manufacturing drama, a sudden argument, an accusation, tears, or a dramatic ultimatum, was a highly effective tactic for forcing a man's compliance and recentering his attention. It forces him to become reassuring and apologetic. Similarly, the withholding or promising of intimacy was perhaps the primary lever of behavioral control. But both of these tactics rely on one critical assumption, that the man is terrified of losing her. The indifferent man removes this assumption entirely. When faced with manufactured drama, he does not engage or plead. He calmly disengages. When intimacy is withheld, he does not beg. He accepts it and moves on with his life. His willingness to walk away renders her most powerful weapons completely useless. Finally, the desperate tactic of manufacturing jealousy disintegrates. This is often the last resort. She will fabricate or exaggerate interest from other men. She'll mention a new friend from work or strategically flirt with another man in his presence. The goal is to activate his primal competitive instinct, to force him to stake his claim and fight for her. But the man who operates from a framework of self-respect and abundance does not compete for what should be freely given. He sees this maneuver not as a sign of her high value, but as a sign of her immaturidade and desperate need for validation. His response is the ultimate neutralizer. He sounds like a great guy for you, or I'm glad you're getting that attention. This is the checkmate. Every tool in her arsenal has been rendered obsolete, and they are forced to confront the terrifying realization that without these tools, they bring very little to the table, beyond their appearance and their emotional games. This systemic failure of their primary tools leads to a profound psychological crisis, cognitive dissonance. For their entire lives, they have operated under two core beliefs that are now in open conflict. The first belief is the prize principle, the deeply ingrained idea that they are, by default, the prize to be won. The second belief is the ideology of independence, the modern narrative that they are powerful, self-sufficient, and do not need a man for validation or survival. This creates an impossible internal contradiction. They desperately crave the validation of being pursued, which confirms their status as the prize, yet they simultaneously resent the very act of pursuit as an affront to their independence. And they are trapped, wanting a man to lead, but punishing him for being controlling when he does. In practice, this dissonance creates a dating market full of unwinnable tests. The modern man is given two contradictory commands: be strong, be decisive, and pursue me, and respect my autonomy, wait for my signal, and treat me as a complete equal. If he is decisive, he risks being labeled toxic or pushy. If he is respectful and waits, he is labeled passive, weak, or lacking confidence. This is the source of the ubiquitous complaint, "Where are all the good men?" It's not a genuine question. It's an expression of frustration. The good man they describe is a logical impossibility, a man who will dominate them gently, lead them passively, and provide for them while expecting nothing in return. When faced with the panic of their indifference, we see three primary responses emerge. The first is the double down. She frantically increases the application of her failing tools, more revealing photos, more filters, more manufactured drama, and an even longer list of demands. She believes the tools aren't the problem. The dosage was just too low. The second and most common is the blame. She externalizes the failure. It's not her, it's the men. They are all broken, avoidant, emotionally stunted, or intimidated by her success. This narrative protects her ego from the reality of her collapsing value. The third and rarest is the evolution, a painful moment of self-awareness where she realizes she is the common denominator and that her market value is not what she thought it was. This is where we must learn to translate the public language of this panic. When you hear modern dating is impossible, the translation is, my traditional tools of manipulation and my physical appearance are no longer sufficient to secure the high-value man I feel entitled to. When you hear, I have high standards, the translation is, my list of demands is extensive and my list of offerings is barren. And when you hear, men just want to play games, the translation is, men are no longer playing my game and are instead enforcing their own rules. And this is where the hard realities of the market become impossible to ignore. The cognitive dissonance is amplified by the brutal, non-negotiable realities of the market itself. The first and most significant factor is biological time. A woman's primary market asset, her youth and fertility, is a depreciating asset. It has a finite and predictable expiration date. A man's primary market asset, his resources, status, and stability, is an appreciating asset. A woman at 34 is facing a biological countdown that a man of the same age simply is not. He is, in fact, often just entering his peak, earning and status years. This is not opinion, it is a cold economic and biological fact. The panic we are witnessing is the visceral terror of an asset holder, watching their portfolio's value rapidly decline, knowing that the market is flooded with newer, more competitive options. This creates the great value inversion. While she spent her 20s leveraging her peak value asset, attention privilege, for short-term gains, like free meals, validation, and temporary relationships, he was spending his 20s building assets that appreciate over time: career, income, physical fitness, emotional resilience. Now, the market has corrected. He enters his 30s and 40s at the height of his market value, with more options than ever. She enters her 30s with a rapidly depreciating primary asset and a portfolio of undeveloped skills like cooperation, loyalty, and peace. She is attempting to trade in a currency that is losing its value, while he is trading in a currency that has just matured. This is the part most people get wrong. He isn't afraid of her success. He is indifferent to her primary value proposition because his own value is now higher. The next hard reality is market competition. The modern woman operating under the rules of entitlement and high standards is not competing against the men. She is competing against other women. And this is a competition she is guaranteed to lose. While she insists on her list of demands, six-figure income, over 6 feet tall, emotionally available but not needy, there is a vast global market of women who are not playing by those rules. These are often younger women or women with more traditional values who understand that value must be offered, not just demanded. They are willing to provide the very things the high-value man actually wants: peace, respect, femininity, and cooperation. The indifferent man isn't boycotting dating. He is simply shopping elsewhere for a better deal. Finally, we have the establishment of male standards. For decades, it was a social taboo for men to have explicit voiced preferences beyond a good personality. Any man who stated a preference for physical fitness, femininity, debt-free living, or a low partner count was shamed as superficial or controlling. That taboo is now completely broken. Men are now openly and unapologetically selective. They are interviewing women for the role of a partner with the same logical rigor. A woman has always interviewed him for the role of a provider. They are checking her resume, her financial health, her mental stability, her past relationship patterns, and her ability to contribute real value. And the woman whose entire resume simply reads, "I am the prize," is finding herself unemployable. Which forces us to look at why the men themselves have changed. This shift isn't an accident. It is a conscious male evolution. The good man that women constantly complain has vanished didn't actually go anywhere. He simply got smart. The compliant, eager-to-please man of his 20s, who was consistently overlooked for more exciting or toxic options, didn't just disappear. He invested. He spent the last decade focusing on the very things he was told made him boring: his career, his finances, his intellect, and his purpose. He became the high-value, stable man she now claims to desperately want. But in the process of building himself, he developed something far more important: self-respect. He no longer needs her validation to feel worthy. His worth is now proven by his accomplishments and his bank account, not by her attention. This self-respect is the foundation of the modern male frame. This is an internal framework of boundaries, purpose, and non-negotiable standards. A man operating with this frame refuses to participate in emotional manipulation, not because he is avoidant, but because he is busy. His mission, his business, his fitness, his goals comes first. He views drama, ultimatums, and emotional outbursts as distractions, not as tests of his love. When a woman deploys these tools, he doesn't engage or try to fix it. He simply sees her as incompatible with his life. His indifference is the direct byproduct of having a purpose greater than pleasing a woman. If you've ever felt like you're competing with a man's work or hobby for attention, you are, and you are losing. This is the creation of a parallel attention economy. Male attention and resources are not infinite. For generations, this attention was directed primarily at women as the main source of fulfillment. That is no longer the case. Men are now diverting their focus, energy, and money into things that provide a better, more reliable return on investment. They are building businesses, cultivating deep friendships with other men, mastering difficult skills, and investing in their own health. The validation he gets from building a successful company or achieving a physical goal is more profound and more permanent than the fleeting validation he gets from a date. His energy has been rerouted, leaving the validation market completely dry. This evolution is no longer isolated. It has become a shared warning system. The final catalyst for mass indifference is the flow of information. Men are now talking. The previous generation of men, who paid the high price for playing the old game through costly divorces, false accusations, or draining one-sided relationships, are now actively mentoring the younger generation. They are breaking the silence, sharing the rulebook, and pointing out the red flags. The internet has created a global older brother effect, teaching young men to identify manipulative tactics before they become victims of them. They are being taught to value their own peace and resources above all else. This isn't just a few men opting out. An entire generation of men is being taught to leave the table before the game even starts. So we arrive at the final diagnosis. This widespread panic is not a mystery. It is a rational and predictable consequence of a failed strategy. For women caught in this panic, the path forward is not to find a new tactic, a better filter, or a more clever manipulation. The only solution is radical honesty and the development of real value. The panic is justified. If you have spent your life relying on an asset, your unearned attention privilege, that has now expired, the only antidote to becoming irrelevant is to become valuable. This means cultivating the skills that high-value men actually seek, the ability to bring peace instead of drama, to be cooperative instead of combative, and to provide genuine support and loyalty. The market no longer cares about your demands. It only cares about what you offer. For the men who have cultivated this indifference, it is crucial to understand that your position is not one of anger, bitterness, or misogyny. It is one of rational discernment. Your indifference is the most logical act of emotional and economic self-preservation. It is the refusal to overinvest in an asset that offers diminishing returns. It is the sign of a healthy internal frame and a strong sense of purpose. Your focus, your time, and your resources are your most valuable assets, and you are correct to guard them, investing them. Only where you see a clear and positive return. This is not opting out of dating, it is opting in to your own standards and your own future. The validation market is over, the correction is here, the game in its previous form is finished, and the tools of manipulation have been rendered obsolete. What we are witnessing is not a dating crisis, but a crisis of value and accountability. The visceral anxiety sweeping the market is an inevitable withdrawal symptom from a drug, unearned validation, that is no longer being supplied. From this point forward, the only currency that matters is demonstrable, provable value.